Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get in to any further, make a couple announcements here. If you have any questions or anything for me, I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call me. It is my phone number. And it's 502-475-8559. If you have any questions, give me a call. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this evening. We ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the guidance, Father, that we need to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, and to keep us in the truth, Father, and not ways of deception. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pardon me just a moment. We've had a pretty rough storm here this evening. In fact, it's been going on while I was waiting to get online. This one seems so fast. We've been having quite a few here in the last couple of days. All right. We're going to be in Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And so, if you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me. Verse 1, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All right. We have read now through that second chapter. We're going to back up now and begin to really take a look and see what the Holy Spirit has for each one of us. All right. That first verse, naturally, he starts out here, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That word quickened means made alive. He's made us alive. You see, Paul himself, he prays for his readers to recognize what God's power has really done in them. And that's something that we ought to recognize, is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I, and all the failings and misery he bore so we could have life and have it more abundantly here on the earth as well as have it in eternity. Here in verse 2, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul's talking about there, he's talking about strictly that we were living by the things of the world, and that prince of the world, which is Satan, we know that he is the prince of this world, and also that was one reason that we walked, actually, in his ways instead of God's, is because of him. And we all walked that way until we would come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, he tells us there, he ends at verse 2 with that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, he tells us that it is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, because you see, he is also a spirit, Satan is. And it's that spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience and tries to keep us away from Almighty God. And he'll do that any way he can, by keeping us out of God's word, or by letting us be deceived by things that are being taught that is supposed to be of God's word, but that is actually things that are contrary to the word of God. And we find quite a few of them when we really begin to study the word of God. You see, as I was reading and reading straight through, you got very little out of it. That's why we study. And just as Pastor Dennis was telling us this morning, now 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Fulfilling those things that our flesh and our mind wanted. Riches, the best of things that this world's got out here to offer, and a lot of other things that we really not only didn't need, but was not good for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loves us. You see, God loved you and I before we ever loved him. He's always loved us. He knew us before the foundation of this world. Think about that. You see, we were also at one time spirits until the Lord put us into our mother's womb. And then we were born in this flesh. But we were born into a world that was filled with Satan, his demons, and things tempt you and I into believing we needed when we didn't need them, we just wanted. Because we wanted, and growing up, us men, even in our early teen years, in our mind, we wanted the prettiest girl in school or in our neighborhood. Couldn't be just a nice young lady. We wanted the prettiest one. And a lot of other things that wouldn't have even been good for us. Things that nature called for, that we was not supposed to answer to nor accept. Sexual misconduct, conduct with each other. And that's going on and getting worse as time goes on. Today, it's being accepted in most places, even in a lot of our churches. Couples living together without being married. That's wrong. And if things don't straighten out in their lives, they're going to wind up in hell, because that is fornication. God's word tells us that no adulterer or no fornicator is going to get into the kingdom of heaven unless they stop that sin and get forgiveness for it, turn their life around, and become that child that they need to be in order to be a child of God. Now, man, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He's quickened us. Because you see, they were morally dead in sins. But then when we go to the Lord God, the Lord gives and gives you and I that spiritual life. And he's raised us up that God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with that sinful ways that they had and habits. But because we repented and was forgiven of our sins, he's brought us into a new life. And in the demonstration of it. And he will make us sit in heavenly places. Because you see, when we become that born again child of the living God, he's going to bring us into his presence and into a real close, intimate relationship with himself. Think about it. Now, I'm going to ask you something right here. As we was reading this, did you see this? All of this? No. It's when we back up, slow down, and let the Spirit give us the understanding that we truly begin to get what God meant for you and I to have from His Word. Now, pardon me a moment. All this rain and all don't do my throat a lot of good. Now, 6. God told us that even when we were dead in sins, that God quickened us together with Christ and tells us that by grace we are saved. 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, everything for you and I, even though it comes from the Father, it comes to us by Jesus, through Him. Just as for us to speak to the Heavenly Father, we do that through Jesus, His name. And we are told to pray that way. We're told to pray to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, and He will hear us from heaven. And if we know that He hears us from heaven, then we know that He will give us our wishes. Now, 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, once again, He's letting us know that things that are coming to us is coming to us by His grace and through Christ Jesus. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Think about that for just a moment. Grace is what we are saved by. But that is accepted by faith when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. We believe by faith in Him and His forgiveness. Without faith, we're not going to receive anything. And there is something else that is needed in order to make faith work. And that something else is godly love. Without love, faith will not work. And love is not going far without faith. They work together. And as he told us there, we're saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. As I've told you all before, and now I'll tell you one more time. We work for God, not to be saved, but we work for him because we are saved. And we have him. We have the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father all living in us. Now, 9. You see, he's telling us here, not of works, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He not only told us that it was not of ourselves, and not of works, and told us why. That least any man should boast. 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, we have to be in Jesus in order to do those good works. Because a lot of things he will call upon you and I to do. It also takes those gifts of the Spirit for us to complete that work. And we went through them when we was in Corinthians. The gifts, the spiritual gifts that God put into his churches. His church, really. Because every church out here, I don't care what name you put on the front of the building or out in the yard, is it the Lord's church inside? There's only one true church. His. And we are told in his word. In fact, we have been through that just here a while back, a little ways, that in order for things to happen, those gifts are given to each one. Several as the Spirit gives. Because he knows what you will use. He knows what you won't use. And he's not going to give you something that you will not use. Now, as I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, because we've always got new ones listening in, and I want you to really understand that things are a little different than what most are teaching. And a lot of them don't like to accept that. You see, God tells us that if any man comes preaching any other doctrine than this, they're cursed. The apostles' doctrine, this book that we call the Holy Bible, that's the doctrine we are to preach. That is the Lord's doctrine. And those gifts he put in the church that we're not seeing today because most don't believe in them. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, you'll find this. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. That's what he put in, says church. And also, he put another one that's supposed to be in the church that is even considered a more excellent way, and that is his love, that godly love. Now, your church, is that what it's got in it? It ain't, you better find you one. Okay, now, 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcised, is the flesh in the flesh made by hands. All right. Now what he's saying here is because we know that under the law, all your Jewish male children at 8 days old had to be circumcised. And then they were dedicated also at that time to the Lord and named. And this is what he's talking about here. Because you see, when the Lord began to give to you and I what they had, and to put us in the church, we didn't have to be circumcised any longer. Most today are, but it's done for cleanliness and health. It's not done because of religion. And should not be, because that leads to a lot of confusion and can drag you back from Christianity to bring you under the law, which is what a lot of them in that group that was following Paul and trying to tear him down, that's what they were using. They were letting them know, well, you know, you can listen to something Paul's saying, but in order for you to really make it, you've got to be circumcised. No, we didn't have to be. And the Bible tells us that. Now, but that's what he's talking about here in verse 11. Those that are being circumcised, made by hand. Now, yeah, we all are circumcised, every one of us, and even our ladies. You see, because we have to have that circumcision of the heart. That old evil has got to be cut out of that heart. and all of those demonic ways. Got to be cut out of there. Circumcise that heart and make it clean. Now, 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now he's talking to the Gentile people here, Paul is. Because you see, the Gentiles were without God. And up until the time of Pentecost, they were mostly out of the, didn't have the Lord Jesus saved. But you see, when that church age began on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was sent down to be with man, it was for all of mankind. We were included. But you and I would not have this today. We'd not be Christians today and children of God if not for the Jewish people. And we need to be sponsoring and backing Israel. We've got a president right now that's not doing that. Now, President Trump did. The one we got now don't. And that is another reason why that our land is in the mess it's in. Right now, it's in a terrible mess. Our young people are seeing it even. I talked to two young ladies today. When I went down to Brandenburg to see my wife, and they was there. I take it to see one of them, either mom or dad's mother. They were out on the front porch. And when I came out, they got talking to me. They spoke to me, got talking to me. And we had a real good session of and about the Lord Jesus Christ and how things were supposed to be, but how things are. Now, Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh by his blood. You see, when we went to him and repented, our sins were covered by that blood, and we are covered by his blood. And those stripes that was on him, his body, which were many. We don't know how many, but we know he was beaten with what is known as cat and nine tails. Strips of leather put together to make a whip, laced with metal and glass to tear the hide, not just to leave a show that it had hit, but really to tear it. And he told us that he had been beaten 5 times. 39 licks from that. 39 licks with it. Then he was beaten in order to continue teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he was stoned, took out of the city for dead, but he wasn't dead. We know he was shipwrecked in the sea for quite a while, finally made it to an island, and then in building a fire, when he picked up a stick, he was bitten by a poison viper that hung onto his hand, and people of that island sitting there waiting and watching for him to get sick and die. He shook that viper off in the fire and never felt no sickness at all. You see, if you walk with God, God will take care of you. Does it mean I'll never get sick? No. I guess there is such thing as walking in divine health where you never get sick. But for most of us, no. Because you see, we are the ones Satan wants. Those out there that's of this world, he's already got them. He's wanting us because we are the ones that are out to take his away from him. A lot of people don't understand, but that's the way it is. Now, 14, for he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of perdition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You see, he took all of this upon his flesh that was an enemy against his flesh so that he could have and make peace for you and I. Now, 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He took all of it to the cross with him. Is that enemy evil? Sin. He took it to the cross and done away with it. That's why you and I don't carry sin today in our lives. Now, when he done that, here in 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So he took that all to the cross and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see, it's through him. You heard me speak it before. If you thought I was telling you something, you see, it's in the Word of God. Now, 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, the saints, and of the household of God. You see, we have been adopted into God's family. We are family members, and we are also brothers to Christ and sisters to Christ. And we are heirs with Christ. And that's in accordance with God's word. Now, and ye are built upon the foundation of who? The apostles. Remember me telling you that he tells us in the word that we are to teach the apostles' doctrine, which is this word, the word of God written in this Bible, and not to make it say things we want it to say, but what it says. Upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's to be the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building tightly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Is that what and the way your church is? Not many are. Yes, we do have few out there, but they are few and they are far between. Now, the last verse will be closing. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You're what? You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit is in you. This fleshly body, once you become that born-again child of God, is a temple of God. God's word, not mine. Just read it to you. In whom ye, meaning you, also are built together for a habitation. Habitation means something's going to live in it. Of God through the Spirit. But we're told even plainer than that in other places. But this is why we are going through the Bible, the whole Bible. And so far, I'm in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and now we'll be going into chapter 3 next time in Ephesians. We've been through the four Gospels, and we've been through Revelation. And there's been a whole lot for us to see, to understand, to accept, and bring into our lives so that we can grow stronger and stronger each and every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can do the work he will have for us to do. Far better. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word with each other, that we can walk in fellowship, that we can love one another and share our love for the Lord God and for our Heavenly Father, and that we can walk in righteousness all here upon this earth, fulfilling the work that the Lord Jesus has us to do, whatever that work may be. and that we'll not fear what man can do to us. We love the Lord God, but we also walk with fear in the Lord, because we know what he has told us can happen to us. And we don't want that. And we know he will keep his word. And he'll keep it according to what he says. Not what we want, what we wish, but what we want to try to make. Father, we know it'll be what you said. Now, Father, for those that are walking in sickness and disease, we're praying for them. We're letting them know that that healing for them was given over 2,000 years back by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, and that they are healed by his stripes. May they put their faith in him, claim that healing, and walk and see it done. Father, I pray for all of our families. We all have family members that are walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit be able to speak to them and work with us and them and help to bring them out of darkness and into light, that might be Jesus, so that none be lost. Father, this land of ours, we know the mess it's in. We're praying, Father, so we can get the churches to come together, stand together, bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put the Lord back into every place he's been taken out of. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate now for this evening, keep us in health, keep us safe. And Father, be with us tonight as we rest. But Father, let us raise in the morning refreshed and ready to come together again in your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. This is my prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless everyone. Have a great night.